Hello, beloved, and welcome to this evening service where we continue to look at the book of Revelation and specifically to the church in Smyrna this evening. What a privilege. And what a privilege it is to look at the different churches, to see what Jesus himself said to those churches so that you and I can understand what he said, so we can apply what he said even to our own lives as we look at the characteristics of those different churches. Before we do that, though, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name. And thank you that we can study your word. Thank you for this letter that we can read and study. And Father, I pray, please, in Jesus' name, enable us to understand. Enable us to take to heart and apply what we learn. And at the end of the day, may you be glorified in and through our lives. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, back to the church in Smyrna. What we're going to do is to look at the negatives that Jesus gives the church, or let's say the characteristics, what Jesus says about the church, and then we need to look at what he says the church needs to do. Okay, so that at the end of the day, he can tell them what they are going to receive because of their faithfulness to him. This is the amazing thing about Christ. He doesn't come to his church and he says to his church, I expect all these things. You need to do all these things. But he never gives them promises of things that he will give them because he is their Lord. He is the head of the church. He loves the church and he wants to give the church certain things. Unfortunately, we sometimes just do our own thing instead of just doing what Christ wants us to do. All right, so as we look at this letter of Jesus to the church in Smyrna, may it be a blessing to you as it's been to me. All right, let's read it. We're going to start in verse 8 of Revelation chapter 2, where it says, Jesus speaks, and he says, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna writes, these things says the first and the last, he was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Wow, beloved, this is a mouthful, but amazing to read, isn't it? To hear what is being said to the church in Smyrna. This is Jesus speaking to the church, by the way. Nah? So he speaks to John to write a letter to the elder or the messenger, we can say, or let's say the pastor of the church in Smyrna. Now, the name Smyrna basically means myrrh. Now, myrrh is normally used for perfume, but it was also used to anoint a dead body, you know, to bring kind of an aroma to the body so it doesn't smell that bad. And this is what Smyrna actually stands for. It is for myrrh. The city was called the Crown of Asia. It was a beautiful city in Asia Minor. It was a center for medicine as well as science. And according to research, Smyrna is the city of in Turkey today called Izmir. I think I'm pronouncing it right. I hope so. But anyway, it was a city that was basically devoted to the cult of emperor worship, which was a strong thing in those days. Remember, one of the reasons why John was in prison as well, refusing to bow down to the emperor, that brought you into trouble immediately with the government. So that's important for us to understand. And 50 years after the death of John, a man with the name of Polycarp, now I read at university, I read some of his, the Greek manuscripts surrounding his death. What an amazing man. And I watched a documentary some time ago, beautiful movie about Polycarp and how he died and what he meant in the city of Smyrna. Now, Polycarp basically was burned to the stake. He was burned alive at the age of 86 years old. And that was because he refused to bow before the emperor. Okay? The thing is, in Smyrna, there was also this large Jewish community. Okay? And they were basically hostile towards the Christians, unfortunately. It's amazing. The church started from the Jewish community. The first church in Jerusalem were basically made up of Jews or proselytes. But it didn't take long for the Jews really to become aggressive towards the Christians. And I believe with my whole heart that through the years, the aggression towards the Jews, I think it was based on the fact that the Jews were so negative towards Christ, rejected Christ, wanted to destroy Christ, kill Christ, and at the end of the day, were instrumental in trying to destroy the church as well. And at the end of the day, when they said, "Let his blood come upon us and our children," that's actually what happened. From 70 AD, hell broke loose among the Jews. But we pray for the restoration of the Jewish nation, that God will bring them back to the land of Israel, that God will restore them completely, that God will, what the new covenant says, that God will remove that heart of stone, and that God will give them a heart of flesh, that they will come to know Jesus Christ. Because in so many cases, the Jews were very hostile towards the church of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus identifies himself to the church as the first and the last. And this expression basically, or this picture, if I may, tells us that Jesus is the one who is in the beginning and at the end. But it also tells us that idols will come and go, né? They will come in and then the idol will go again. Some of the idols that people used to worship in years gone by, they no longer exist. So idols come and idols go. But Jesus Christ, nope, he's the first and he is the last. He never ever disappears. He never goes away. All right, and Jesus identifies himself as well by saying he was dead and came alive. Now, beloved, this is amazing. Because this is exactly who Jesus is. This is what happened to him. Nah? Remember that he rose from the dead after 3 days. That's part of the gospel. Okay. And this is the gospel. This is Jesus. He's the one who rose from the dead. Okay. He was victorious over death. We celebrate it when we partake of communion. We celebrate the death, the burial and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the one who rose from the dead. And Jesus says we partake of communion until he returns. Okay, so all of this, it's so beautifully we said that he is the one who died, but then he is the one who came to life. Now, what are some of the observations that Jesus makes with regards to this church in Smyrna? The first thing he says is he sees their works. Which means everything they did, nah? He saw everything they did for the sake of Christ. Then obviously they also saw the things where they did selfishly. He saw all the things they did for one another. None of the works that the believers in Smyrna did went past Christ without him seeing it. That's why he says he knows their work. He knows it. He knows every single aspect about it. But then he also knows their tribulations. He understands that they've gone through hard times. Remember, we're talking about persecution here. The church was not loved. The Jews hated the church. They wanted to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. So, Jesus says, I know your tribulations. But then he also says, I know your poverty. Because normally where churches are being persecuted, the Christians are not very rich. In fact, sometimes they are really, really poor. Okay? But then Jesus says something that's very interesting. He says, I know that you are poor. He says, but actually, you are rich. Because physically they were poor, but spiritually they were rich. Okay? There was a lack of money and there was a lack of possessions, possessions and maybe food or resources, that kind of thing. But they were definitely not poor when it came to spiritual things. Because if you look at this church, this was an amazing church to be part of. Then Jesus also knows the blasphemy of those who say that they are Jews, but they are not. So physically, they were Jews. Now they had the circumcision, maybe they had those crooked noses that a lot of Jews had. So spiritually speaking, they were Jews, but physically speaking, they were Jews. They could call themselves Jews, but spiritually speaking, they were not Jews. Spiritually speaking, they were pagans, because they were the ones who persecuted the Church of Jesus Christ. They persecuted Christians, okay? And they did it with other pagans, right? They wanted to eliminate Christianity. Is that what real Jews do? No, because they should have understood that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and they should have understood that the church is basically the tame olive that is planted into them. The wild olive, sorry, that is planted into them, the tame olive tree. They're supposed to know these things. That's what Jesus came to teach, but they rejected Christ. All right, so they didn't know these things. Therefore, physically they might have been Jews, but spiritually they were definitely not Jews because they persecuted the church. But then Jesus calls them a synagogue of Satan. Phew, that's harsh, huh? A synagogue of Satan, not a synagogue where God is worshipped and where religion is performed. No, they are a synagogue of Satan. When they persecute the church, they would actually use the synagogue as well, as a place from where to start the persecution of the church. Okay? They became more like a satanic church than a Jewish church. They were a tool in the hands of Satan. You know, just like the emperor worship in those days. But then he says, and this is beautiful what Jesus says to them. He says, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer." Don't fear. And this kind of slots in with what Jesus said in 2 Timothy. Né? 2 Timothy chapter 1, where he says, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. We shouldn't be afraid. Not even the things that we are going to suffer. And let me tell you, what Jesus reveals to them are something that we could be afraid of. It's not something that's nice. It's not something to be excited about. But that's the reality of what was going to be happening to them. But Jesus says to them, you don't have to fear. And the reason for that is God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He has given us a spirit of discipline and of love. We love those who persecute us, even though they persecute us. But we still love them. Right? Very important. These things that are going to happen to them, they don't have to fear these things, even though these things will happen to them. They can stand strong. And then Jesus tells them, and this is prophetic. Né? This is now something that Jesus Christ comes and shares with them in the letter so that they can prepare themselves and they can be ready not to run away and to make sure that doesn't happen to them, but rather to be prepared to stand strong because they knew it was coming. And one of the things that Jesus tells them is that the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Basically, what's going to come is persecution. They're going to be persecuted for the sake of the faith. You see, and wasn't it Jesus who said, don't decide beforehand what you're going to answer when when you take you before the princes and the governments and all the officials? Don't think what you're going to say, but rather what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit in that moment will tell you what to say. He will give you the words to speak. And here, basically what's going to happen is the Smyrna believers will have to apply those principles in their lives. They have to apply it now. Their Christianity is going to become practical now. So when they are persecuted, obviously this is a spiritual attack from Satan. They are going to be thrown into prison. This is a spiritual attack. If we think of the way that Christians nowadays want to get out of persecution, wants to get out of all pain and suffering for the sake of the gospel, shouldn't Jesus have said, what you need to do is make sure that you get together as a church and then start rebuking the devil? Isn't that what Jesus would have done if that's what he wanted them to do? No. Jesus says the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Persecution is coming. That's what Jesus says. Don't worry what you're going to say. I'm going to give you the words in that specific hour, but you need to be fearsome. You need to stand strong and go to prison for my sake. That's basically what Jesus is saying to them. Not fight the devil. All right? And then he says, and this is what Jesus says to them, they are going to be tested. Their faith is going to be tested, just like what we read about in James chapter 1. And what does James tell us? What happens if our faith is basically tested? What happens? Amazing. We grow in patience. That's the amazing thing that happens to us. We grow in patience. So from our, the pressure that we come under, the testing of our faith, we just get stronger and stronger and stronger, and we become more and more patient as we just faithfully trust in Christ and wait for God to give us deliverance. Amazing. We will be tested. He says, and they will give you tribulation, or you will have tribulation for 10 days. Ew, beloved, that's hard to hear. Who would want to hear something like that? Yet that's exactly what Jesus said to the church in Smyrna. They're going to experience tribulation. And that is a specific period that Jesus tells them. It could refer to a specific period of time. Let's say, for example, it could be more than 10 days, but it's a specific period. Or it could just mean 10 physical days that they were going to be having tribulation, where they're going to end up in jail, where they're going to suffer for the sake of Christ. Whatever way, Jesus tells them these things, beloved, so that they can become strong. Remember, let's say here you are in Smyrna, in the church. The messenger, I'm the messenger, I'm the pastor of the church, let's say, for example, and this message comes from John, who got it from Christ. So the message comes to us, and I take the letter and I read it to you. And it says in this letter that we as a church are going to go through tribulation. That's one of the things. And it's going to be heartbreaking. It's going to be bad. It's going to be tough. And we're going to be tested for our faith. But we're going to be, patience are going to flow out of it. And then it's going to be for 10 specific days, 10 days long. Or it could be a period that's longer, but it's going to be a specific period of time. How many of us would want to be in that church any longer? How many of us would actually say, you know what, that's fine? How many of us would fall into fear and trembling instead of saying, all right, what an opportunity to suffer for the sake of Christ, to stand up for the gospel, and not to fear, as Jesus said. Well, beloved, that's what Jesus said to this church. For 10 days, they were going to experience tribulation. Jesus tells the believers in Smyrna that what they should do. What should they be doing? Instead of being fearful, instead of now being concerned about, oh, what are we going to do? We are going to be tested. Yeah, that's fine. We're going to be tested. We can pray and ask God to give the strength to be able to stand in the midst of the trial. And when the devil is about to throw some of us into prison, that we can prepare to go and see our brothers and sisters. Maybe it's going to be us ourselves, and then others can come and see us. So what a passage of scripture to just kind of say, but if this is possible, then we need to get our lives sorted out so that we can actually support our brothers and sisters in jail. And if it's me, then I need to be ready to go to jail. Right. But what Jesus tells them to do is that they should be faithful until death. So if they are cast into prison, if their faith is tested, if they experience the troubles for 10 days, and it basically ends up in them becoming dead, in them dying, then so be it. Because he says they need to be faithful till death. See, that's the whole thing, is to be faithful till death. Just don't start the faith and then halfway give up. Or just before the end, you give up because you're afraid to die. That's not what it's all about. John is saying to us, no, do not be fearful until death. Right? Do not forsake your faith. Do not forsake Christ. Hold on to the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And then he says that there will be a reward if they stay faithful and they overcome. Remember that one of the signs of a believer is the fact that a believer will overcome. Perseverance of the saints is a sign of being a saint. If you persevere right to the end, and you still in Christ, and you still have faith in Jesus Christ, you still follow Him, you still live for Him, and you die, that's a proof that you have always been a child of God because of persecution. Persecution shows us that a person is truly a child of God. All right, so Jesus says He will give them the crown of life. Now, this is not a physical crown. This speaks about you will receive life. So don't fear death, but be faithful until death, because when you die, you're actually going to receive life. That's what he says. Okay? They should stay faithful and overcome, be overcomers in Jesus Christ's name. And Jesus will give them the crown of life. Not a physical crown, it's more like a metaphor for true life, eternal life with God forever and ever. Amazing, beloved, amazing. And he also says, he who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Now, what is the second death? The first death we know is when we physically die. Okay, and that's normally, that's the death that he was talking about, that we don't have to fear. We don't have to be afraid of death. We should stay faithful until death. That's the first death that we are concerned about, is this physical body of ours dying. That's the first death, right? But that's temporary, because when Jesus returns, he's going to come on the clouds, and everyone will be, those who died in Jesus Christ will be raised from the dead, and those who are alive at that stage will be changed in an instant to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, and we will always be with him. All right, so that would be the resurrection that takes place when Jesus Christ returns. Everybody that is in Christ will be changed in an instant. Those who are alive, we will meet Christ in the air. We will be with him forever. Okay, so the first death was to actually get into the grave the first time, to die, this physical body dying. That's the first death. The second death is eternal death, when we are cast into the lake of fire. Not we, because we will not see the lake of fire. We are going to be saved. But when the unsaved, the unbelievers, when they are cast into the lake of fire, that would be the second death. Okay, they die forever and ever and ever. It's as if they are gone forever. Okay. I just wrote down that the first death is only physical. The second death is physical and eternal. It's not spiritual, it's eternal. So for eternity, the second death has an influence on our lives. For eternity, for always and always. So, beloved, what can we learn from a church like this? Amazing. We can learn that we need to be faithful unto death. We can learn that we don't have to be afraid of anything, because troubles can come. Jesus warns the Smyrna believers that trouble is going to come. They're going to be cast into prison. They're going to have tribulation for 10 days. We can stay faithful in all those situations. Oh, beloved, amazing, absolutely amazing. And may God help us that we will stay faithful to Christ in every single thing, that we will continue to walk in Christ, that we will continue to live for Him, that whatever comes our way, that we will be able to face it, preparing ourselves, obviously, as we read this and we know, oh, there's things that comes. This church was a poor church. Were they wrong because they were poor? Why didn't God prosper them? Oh, they were prospering, of course, just not physically. Jesus says to them that they are rich because they prospered spiritually. They were a rich church in their walk with God. But amazing how the Lord allows them again, even though they are poor, even though they've gone through tribulation already, even though He knows their works and what they've been experiencing, that God allows them again to be cast into prison, to experience trouble, to go through tribulation for 10 days, to be tested in their faith. God allows that in them. Because at the end of the day, gold is refined by fire. The pain and the suffering that we all experience at times, beloved, just makes us stronger, helps us to endure. And that's what needs to happen at the end of the day. As we persevere in our faith in Christ and we know we are being tested, as that happens in our life, patience grows in us and we persevere, because at the end of the day, we will receive a crown of life. We will have eternal life with Jesus Christ forever and ever. And the second death will do us nothing. Can't touch us. Why? Because we are securing Christ forever and ever. Well, beloved, this is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right. That's it for tonight. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you for the church of Smyrna and what we can learn from it. Oh Lord, may we be faithful. May we be like this church. Oh, I pray this in Jesus' name. Please, Lord, may our character be their character. May our walk be their walk. May our works be their works. May the tribulation that we experience, Father, be tribulation that doesn't break us down and destroy us, but that we will stand firm. And even though we might be poor, Father, I pray, please, what you said to them is they were rich. Will that be also be true of us? We are, how can I say, that we will be rich in good works, that we will be rich in giving, that we will be rich in just living for you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, and thank you so much for the promises that we will receive the crown of life, that we will receive eternal life, and that the second death will not hurt us. Father, thank you so much for all of this. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. My beloved, thank you very much for listening. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May His face shine upon you and may He give you His peace. As we look at the churches and what Jesus has to say to them, may we learn and apply it in our lives. All for His name's sake, the glory of God the Father, and so that you and I can become everything that God wants us to be, for His name's sake and for His glory. God willing, until next time, bye-bye.